What's up, y'all? Welcome to the social media edition of the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 19, Maximizing Social Media, for April 11th, 2012. All right, so a couple weeks ago we had Mr. Metter, the president of Metter Staffing, and we talked about how he is the man to ask about getting a job. If there's anything you need to know about getting a job, then he is the guy you want to talk to. Well, his beautiful daughter, who is the proud wife of Carson, mommy of a German shepherd named Mac, and she was a fish camp leader at the University of, Texas A&M University.
We won't hold that against her.
So she is an Aggie fish camp leader. She is a vice president and the director of communications for Metter Staffing. And so that means she kind of heads up all the social media and that kind of thing. And then she's going to tell us more about that as we go along. She's been in the job for about 2.5 years. I think that's about all the intro for Morgan. So, of course, I am Jackson. I actually wrote it in the show notes this time to do the introduction so I don't forget. And then we have...
This is Doc L.
Sarah.
Alondra.
Elda.
Raya.
Anna.
Morgan.
And Morgan. Sorry, we usually go around the horn. I forgot to explain that to you. Okay.
And we have our rest of our class in the audience taking
Brian, Fernando, Michelle. And then we also are graced with another guest, Mr. Metter. It was pretty cool. They've been here for like 20, 30 minutes. And so we were just having, general conversation. And it was pretty cool to see Mr. Metter kind of bragging on his daughter. And then Morgan was trying to, be all humble
to
me.
Dad.
And so I was telling him specifically, last time when we talked to him, one of his greatest accomplishments was his family, and so it was really cool just to see that that's not just something he said, but like he's proud of his family, he loves his family, and so it's evident in the way that he interacted with her and with us. And so thanks for coming again, being part of our audience and supporting us again, Mr. Metter. And now we are to Morgan. Also, I forgot to throw out there, Morgan went to high school with my beautiful wife, so Pasadena is a very small
town. She went to Rayburn, but,
Yeah, Rayburn. Yeah.
But she's here now.
So yeah, that's all that true. Matters. That's all that matters.
Yes. Okay, so, Morgan.
Yes.
We talked about you and Aggie. Tell us a little bit more about your background and all that stuff.
Okay, well, you did touch on a few points and kind of opened up the can of worms about me. I am from Pasadena, born and raised, lived here my entire life. I did go to Rayburn. I graduated in 2004. And while there, I was really big into the drill team and choir, and it was a lot of fun. And so just on that note, enjoy high school, get involved, and live up every second, because I tell you what, 4 years goes by quickly and you don't realize it. And in the blink of an eye, you'll be your senior year and tear-filled eyes at graduation and, you're on your way to college. But, after high school, I went to Texas A&M, like Jackson said, and I graduated with a degree in English, with a concentration on rhetoric. And so I'm a giant nerd and I love the English language. I love grammar and all of that good nerdy stuff. It's kind of funny going into, looking for a job after I graduated. My goal was to go to the East Coast and work for an editing and publishing firm. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be an editor. And, how I kind of fell into the lap of this job, I was talking with my dad and he mentioned to me that there was an opening in the company for social media manager to build their social media platform, and create and nurture that. And, as I'm sitting there applying to jobs on Career Builder, and he puts that nugget of information in my ear and I said, well, I can do that job, I think, if you'll let me. And so, graciously, he offered the job to me, and here I am, almost 3 years later. Love the job I do. It's a blessing to work with family every day. I live about 7 minutes from work, 5 minutes from my family, and it's great, and I love every minute of it. I got married in October. Married life is absolutely wonderful. I have, like Jackson said, a white German Shepherd named Mac. He's 3, and he's the love of my life, child I have right now. And I'm like the cat lady, except with a dog and one dog, but I like take millions of pictures and it's all over Facebook and oh, it's ridiculous. But that's, you know, that's me in a nutshell. Sorry, I kind of rambled on, but I wanted you to get a little, you know, piece of who I am. And I'm just so thankful to be here with y'all today. And, new friends are great. So thank you for having me.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Morgan, you can call me Jeremy if you want.
Okay, I didn't know they were calling you Jackson. Well,
Jackson. They call me Jackson, but they know my first name is Jeremy.
Okay.
So it's up to you. If you want to call me Jackson, I'm used to that. If you want to call me Jeremy, that's, you know.
Whatever you want. Jeremy's fine.
So, and then also, did you know that, last week or last, when your dad was here, that he told us that the people that were interviewing you, he told them, you know, hey, if she's not good enough for this job, then don't hire her. Did you know that he said that?
No.
I wanted to tell you that. Oh, I'm sorry.
Jackson, you got him in trouble.
So,
no.
So just so you know, it's not just because you're his daughter. But.
Oh, I know. I'm reminded of that many a time. And I also work with my older sister in the company. So we're always reminded there are no favorites. And just because you share the last name better, that doesn't mean anything. So in a good way. A great way.
Okay. All right, so kind of how I want to conduct this interview or question session is I want to focus on 3 main categories. And so one would be the student level. And so how it applies to these kids here moving forward or, you know, as of today, you know, because it's a lot of times it's hard for kids in 9th or 10th grade to think about the future, to think about college and careers and the effect that, you know, the stuff that they put on Facebook could affect them in a college or job setting in a few years. And so we want to, you know, look at the student level and then the professional level for me. What do I need to do, or, you know, me and Doc as professionals, or even you as a professional? And then also, you know, we're doing the sports medicine podcast or sports medicine broadcast, and, you know, obviously promoting it on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, all that kind of stuff. And so what can I do to get that out there, to promote that, to make this to sell my brand, you know, that kind of thing. And so those are kind of the 3 categories I want to go through it or try and focus on as we go through each of these questions. And, you know, if we miss some, no big deal. But is that good?
That's great. Let's go.
All right.
Okay. Now, Morgan, what qualifications does someone need to run a social media department?
Well, it truly,
if there are any, Anna.
Yeah, well, absolutely there are. And truly, in the research that I've done and the experience that I've had in working for a company in the social media area, it really varies from company to company or organization to organization, because the social media department in each company, organization, industry, what have you, some industries and companies are brand new. They're diving in feet first. Now they're a little tentative. And so it's building a brand new position. And so what they're looking for their specific company, as far as qualification goes, it may be they don't ask for a college degree. They may just bring them in and train them how they want to portray their company on social media, or they may ask for a college degree individual, say with a focus on English or communications or public relations or any other degree that has experience or the education in promoting a communication-based mantra. Or they just may hop right in there and build from the ground up like I did. Like I said, I had a background in English, and that's the only real experience I had as far as education goes. And I was on Facebook, I was on Twitter, I was on LinkedIn, and so I had a little bit of the savviness of how to operate those social networks. And truly, a lot of it was just jumping in there with my feet wet, like I alluded to earlier. And I did a lot of research. I read a lot. It's also part of my personality. I want to know as much as I can before jumping in there. And so I read a lot. I researched what companies were doing, where they were with social media. And a lot of companies are at that point right now. They want an individual who's going to get in there and represent their brand in the best way they can, as the managers want them to do. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. So in other words, they got to get their hands dirty. In other words, exactly. They got to get in there and do it.
Yes. The best way to learn, it may not be a college degree per se for this specific job. Like I said, it depends on the company, but it's hands-on. You get in there, you learn, and you listen, and you watch what's going on in the social media realm, because that's the main thing. You have to know who your audience is, and you have to know what they want to hear from you. That's a big part of promoting a brand or yourself on those platforms.
I would think that your English background has helped you, because there's times where I put stuff out there, and then I realize, oh, I misspelled that one word. Or, you know, well, that doesn't flow well whenever I reread it. I mean, it made sense when I thought it out.
Right.
But whenever I reread it, it's like, oh, maybe I don't know how to reword this. And so I would think that a strong English background or you know, I don't know, something. Mm-hmm. Just where you have a good grasp of the English language.
I would think you'd probably need the most communication skills, whether it's communicating verbally or typing or writing or technology.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know how to use the media guides or whatever you want to call it, but you have to be able to know how to get into it, how to use it. And like you said, the research part is probably the biggest.
Absolutely. And you're right. Communicating your message well and effectively is numero uno on the list when you're promoting yourself, or your brand or your product, because you want to put it out there in the best light so that people, they receive it well. But on the other hand, this is where I guess it's my personal opinion. We're all human. We make mistakes. We're not perfect. So if you're promoting yourself, and say you have a blog, and I may talk about that a little bit later about what a blog is, but if you're writing your own blog, you're going to have mistakes, but we're human, and people receive that well, if your audience receives that well. If you make a grammar mistake, they don't automatically, you know, back out of the page and say, well, they don't know how to spell or speak. Because we all do it too. But I say it's a little bit different if you're promoting a company or a brand, because you want that professional level of speak and communication, because it does matter. And people do view the company a little bit differently. Say if they have just a sentence that doesn't flow well or a lot of grammar mistakes in the post. It's different for the personal and the brand messages out there.
All right. So to kind of, I would say, sum that up is a good grasp of the English language, and then public relations or communication skills, and then double checking.
Yes.
If you're doing it as a profession and a professional level or product or brand level.
Absolutely.
All right. So,
how easy is it to find information on people like on Facebook or Twitter?
You'd be amazed. It is becoming much easier. Although Facebook has implemented a lot of security, I don't know what you want to call them, guidelines or rules. And if you are all of you on Facebook, do y'all have Facebook?
Yes.
They are constantly changing and revamping their template. I don't know if you've seen that recently, but they're making their product better every time they revamp it. And they do have a lot of security guidelines and rules out there that make it a little bit more difficult to find people. Say if you go in and adjust your settings where you know you don't want to be found in a Google search on Facebook, within the Facebook platform, you can turn on settings that allow people not to look at your photos, not to find you, and just keep it more of within your group of friends where you have control. Okay, I want to be friends with this person, but I don't want this person to find me. And that's okay, because that's a great thing about social media. It's all about free will and your personal choice. And on Twitter, it's a little bit easier to be found if people know, you know, your email address, your name, or your your Twitter username. And LinkedIn, it's a little bit easier to be found, but it's amazing the footprints that, you can leave that can be found easily on Google. Google remembers everything. And I'll talk about that a little bit later, in regard to how to really be mindful of what you post and how you post it, because Google has a great memory and, it doesn't forget anything.
Wow. That's scary.
Oops. I know.
So do y'all use it in any way, to research? I know.
Google?
Well, the social media stuff, do y'all?
Oh, say in our hiring process?
Mm-hmm.
We really try to, influence our employees not to do that, because even though it does paint that picture of a person, that's who that person is on social media. The pictures that they post, the status updates that they publish, we really discourage looking at that, but people do it. And, it's not against the rules. It's not bad, but, we want to keep the hiring process consistent across the board. And so if you look at a Facebook profile for one candidate, but not the other, or say a candidate doesn't have a Facebook profile or a LinkedIn, and you choose the person that did have those two platforms, that's where it can get a little fuzzy.
Or choose not to.
Absolutely, or choose not because of what you saw on those platforms, then you'll find yourself in a pickle, probably.
In a pickle.
All right, so for y'all, you try to make it consistent.
Absolutely.
And have, as your dad talked about, integrity.
Absolutely.
Throughout the process, and so.
Well, we want to do right by everyone, and because you never know where people are coming from, what walk of life they're coming from, and this may be their last chance to find a job, and we want to honor that. And if that means, you know, not looking at their social media platforms because it may hinder their opportunity, not to say that there could be anything bad out there, but we want to give everyone the most opportune chance at finding their dream career.
All right.
That's nice. Do y'all use MySpace?
We did. It's funny, over the past few years, seeing the transition of MySpace kind of go back into the woods and Facebook continue to dominate. MySpace is still out there. It's dwindled a little bit, but I think they're carving out, the niche of people they can appeal to most, which a lot of it's going to be your musicians.
Mm-hmm.
They're on there that you can stream their music there. They have their brand or their brand information, there. But, we did have a MySpace when we first started because that, you know, MySpace was still in the game for businesses, and some businesses are still on it. It truly depends on the type of company that you have and who your audience is, because if your audience is still using MySpace, then you want to be there. But we kind of found out that we weren't getting a lot of reciprocation along the communication lines on MySpace. We didn't have a great following. So we, instead of investing our time and energy in building up that brand on MySpace, we took the time and said, okay, we're going to step away from there and focus on Facebook and Twitter and the other social media platforms that we're on.
All right. So then that would, I guess, lead to the question is, what do y'all use and focus on? Is there just a couple of them, or do you kind of try to hit all of them but really focus on some of them? Or?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question, and I get this question a lot. And I'm often asked, well, why aren't you on all of the social media platforms? And we are on Facebook, Twitter. We have a company profile and a group on LinkedIn, and we encourage all of our employees to have a LinkedIn profile. We are on Pinterest. We are on Google Plus. We have a blog. And for a little while, we were uploading videos on YouTube. We do have an account, but we've kind of stepped away from there as well, even though it's booming. And note to self, we need to be back on there. But we put all of our focus on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Google Plus, and our blog. And back to your question, Jeremy, do we focus on all of the social media platforms or just the ones that we're on? My rule of thumb is, instead of getting overwhelmed and just really out there on all of the platforms where you can only put minimal time and energy to all of those. I say focus on the, you know, one at a time first. If you're new to the game, the social media game, pick one. So say you choose Facebook. Build your brand there. Get a following there. Communicate with people there before you jump to Twitter. And then you can juggle the two there. But focus on one and then start building up your brand on the other networks. Because if you try to tackle them all at one time, it's exhausting. And most likely your brand message won't be as consistent and effective as if you would have, or if you would have chosen just one at a time.
All right, so I would say, or what I kind of understood there was to start with one and then build it up, mm-hmm. and then maybe add one in,
right.
and build it up. And then once you get those two going, you can look at the other ones or whatever. But
absolutely. Master one at a time.
All right, so if we had to pick one, start from zero, which one? Because I don't know what. I've heard of Pinterest, and I think that's where they say, like, you pin pictures to a bulletin board, but I haven't looked at it.
It's very visual, and just think of a giant online bulletin board where you can create a board for every interest you have. So, say you create one for, Pasadena High School sports medicine department. You can create a board for trainers who inspire you out in the professional world. You can go do research for sports medicine articles and pin those articles to that board. You can pin your podcast to another board. So you have to think in terms of your brand and what your audience is going to want from you, what revolves around your brand and how you can build that up there. But it's just essentially a giant online bulletin board, and it's disgustingly addicting and so much fun. And a lot of companies are jumping on board with it now as an educational tool and communication tool for their company.
All right. So that kind of describes Pinterest.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So back to the question, if there was one. If there was one. I know,
I'm sorry. I would probably choose Facebook because it's more than likely that's where your audience is. You know that they're there. And it's easy to create a brand page, build that up, post your podcast there. And it's a two-way street. I know that Twitter and LinkedIn, Pinterest, all of those, they're also a two-way street. And what I mean by that, you have the ability to comment back and forth with your audience, which is great because with a website, you definitely want a website because that's your hub. You want your brand message to be there. You want everything you ever wanted to know about what you're doing, what your brand is on your website. But then you also want to direct them out to your social media platform. So if you have a Facebook page, you want to direct them to your Facebook page. So that way you can communicate with your audience and they can ask questions. You can direct them to, say if you get a Twitter page, you can direct them to Twitter. You can post photos. It's just a way to gauge, how your audience is receiving what you're doing and another way to continue to promote your brand and your message and your podcast out there. I think Facebook's a great tool.
There's what, like 500,000, or not 500,000, like 500 million?
I think it's users. Getting close to 6 or a little above 6. It's growing every day. And I saw on your list of questions, you mentioned Instagram. Well, Facebook just purchased Instagram for bazillion amounts of money. I think it was $1 billion, truly. But Instagram is another great tool for photo sharing, and it's a lot of fun as well.
All right, so you mentioned putting the podcast on Facebook.
The link to your podcast.
So it'd be a link. So it wouldn't be hosted on Facebook.
Right.
It would be a link.
Right. So it'd be a link to wherever you host it on iTunes or your website or something like that.
All right, So if I go back, you said first build your website,
yes.
create the foundation there, and then add these tools, which would be Facebook and then maybe Twitter or Pinterest or whatever.
Right.
So the first thing has to be the website. You have to have a good starting place there.
Absolutely.
And then with your Facebook, build up your, like we have a, I have a PHS Athletic Trainer, or PHS Trainers, I think is my Facebook name,
uh-huh.
which is me that I use for the school when I'm friends with like a whole bunch of the students.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the PHS Athletic Training webpage. And so I'm trying to build that up, but I mean, it's new to me. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily know how to go about doing it besides time and just telling people.
Yeah. Time, it's a huge investment when you're building your brand on social media. And my suggestion would be get that up and running. And you mentioned you have the PHS Trainers page where you're friends with people.
Mm-hmm.
My suggestion would be build a brand page, because there is a difference between a personal Facebook page where you are friends with all of these people, and then you have a brand page where you can like a page.
Right.
There's a difference. Awesome. I would create an athletic or, you know, form your PHS Trainers page to kind of mimic the content on your website so that you have a consistent message on both platforms.
All right. So right now what I have going on, maybe you can give me a little, you know, report card or give mm-hmm. me a grade. So I got the website, and on the website, there's the sports medicine broadcast, the student podcast, a place for them to, apply to be a student athletic trainer and all this stuff. So I think I got the website pretty good for what I can do. And then I have my Facebook, but then I have Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I post to Twitter, it posts to my Facebook, but also whenever I put the podcast on the website, I use FeedBurner,
mm-hmm.
And it automatically posts it to my Twitter with a link.
Mm-hmm.
And then that posts it to Facebook also. Is that overkill, or is that kind of what you're talking about? Is just getting out there as many people as I can? Or?
I would say if you're posting the same message multiple times on your Facebook page, so you use FeedBurner, it goes to Twitter and it goes to Facebook, and then you're posting it to Facebook, I would keep, you know, post that one broadcast only one time out on all platforms. But if you want to use a hosting site, or a funneling site like FeedBurner, or I know you mentioned Hootsuite or something like that in the notes, I don't think that's overkill at all. I think it's helpful in time management when you're not at the disposal of a computer or your smartphone to post that information out there. You can schedule that and just have it funnel out to all of your platforms at one time. I think that's very efficient.
All right. So then that'll jump to the next thing. Do y'all use something along the lines of Hootsuite, or do you have a team of people that work for you? And, you know, this person is in charge of Facebook, this person is in charge of your Twitter, or... Mm-hmm.
Everything that we've done has been trial and error, you know, because it's new to us, and we have the mindset that we're just going to try it, and nobody's perfect. And if it fails, it fails, and we will, you know, tip our hat to that idea and move on. But we did use Hootsuite for a little while, and it worked great, but it was more of a nuisance in trying to enter in all the information to schedule. And we like to have a more hands-on approach. And I do have a team. I have one of our staffing consultants, Holly Allen, who is very savvy in this realm. She is also a graduate of Texas A&M, and her focus is on communications. And she has a graphic design background. So we're a great team, because I do not have that. And I'm a little envious, and I would love to learn. But she helps me when I can't be in the office or at a computer to post, and we post separately, just because we often have to formulate our message for that platform. So say, you know, we have a photo album that we're posting to Facebook of a job fair that we recently participated in, and we have lots of photos, and we have about two paragraphs that we've written in that photo album. Well, we can't just post that automatically to Twitter, because it cuts off half of our message, and we want it to fit within 140 characters. So we manipulate the messages to fit each platform so that it is effectively presented to our audience.
So I understand this. You more or less have the same message. You just modify it for the platform.
Absolutely.
Okay. So yeah, that way you're not creating something new for each thing. You're still using the same thing, but
it's the same content, different, you know, it's how you package it that is what changes throughout each platform.
All right. And I am hearing kind of like a overwhelming theme of like nepotism. You know, you got family working for family. You got A&M working with A&M. What is going on here?
Well,
I'm just, it's okay. No. I'm just kidding. All right.
We're
so,
all good people.
Now with that awkward moment there.
Oh, that's okay. I embrace it.
Alondra?
Okay. What is the single biggest mistake people make when using social media?
Oh my gosh. You have to think. Think before you post. Just, you know, you think before you speak, think before you post. And, I would encourage you to not only think about, okay, well, what am I posting out there? Would you want your mom or dad to see it? Would you want your grandmother to see it? Would you want your future boss to see it? Because remember I said Google has an incredible memory and it just never forgets anything that you post. That is very true. And it's not tongue in cheek that I'm saying that. You know, we mentioned earlier, there was a question that Jeremy asked about, you know, did your employer, you know, do it, I'm sorry, in the recruiting process, when we're looking to place people for jobs, do we use Facebook or Twitter to check the, you know, that person out? Well, if we do and there's something there that is just, oh my goodness, you don't want to take that chance of promoting yourself negatively, and always think, you know, is this presenting myself in a positive light? Because, oh gosh, your name is, your name is everything when you're out there applying for college, when you're applying for your first job. Your name and your reputation is the most important thing out there, and you want to keep that clean, and you want to keep it positive. And social media, it's booming now. It will continue to boom. And, you know, who knows, in 5 years it may be in the recruiting process for college and the workplace as a place to go to check people out. And if they see something that they don't like, you just don't want to take that chance. So to wrap up, think before you post. Would you want, you know, your parents or your grandparents or your, the person who's going to accept you into college or hire you for your first career? Would you want them to see that? Keep your name clean.
So then we have two really good questions that follow that, Elda, and then Mariah, you can take that.
What advice will you give people who make mistakes online?
Well, we're human, right? So we all make mistakes, and no one's perfect, and you can't expect to jump into using social media, whether you're just using it for yourself and you're connecting with your friends and family, or if you're jumping in there as a business and representing that brand online. You're going to make mistakes, but nothing is the end of the world. I would just say own up to the mistake and, ask for forgiveness if you need to ask for forgiveness to your boss or your parents or your friend or whomever. And just move forward, you know, just own up to it and say, you know, for example, I think this kind of goes in line with this. Not all posts we get on our platforms are positive. You know, people have the right to say whatever they want to say, freedom of speech, right? So they can go online and they can review our company on our Facebook page. Say they had a negative experience in their mind and, they just want to share that on our Facebook page, and we have that from time to time. And I advise people who are wanting to learn how to handle receiving negative comments or negative experiences that are posted on their Facebook page. How do they handle that? How do you handle that? Do you hide the comment? Do you delete the comment? We own up to it. We leave it there, and not because, oh, well, you know, we're not going to delete anything from our Facebook page. But I always say, you know, those moments are a time to, for you as a company to show, that you're going to do whatever you need to do to make amends with that person. If they had a negative experience at your company for whatever reason, you know, you handle it with grace and you handle it with a lot of mercy, and you just do what you can to make amends with that individual. So you ask for forgiveness and you move on. And, so if you make a mistake, just, you know, it's like with anything in life, you just say whoops and, you tread forward.
when something's online, is it truly there forever?
Pretty much. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not going to be like the shadow haunting you from behind. But it will be easy to find. So any, you know, newspaper article, blog, pretty much any footprint that you leave online, photos that you post on Facebook, things you post on Pinterest, anything that can be linked back to your email address or your name, it's going to be there. And it's pretty hard to kind of wipe that clean from the internet, because it's not just Google that has a great memory. It's all of those search engines that if you type in your name, something, you know, you're going to be pulled up, somewhere in those search engines. So, it's pretty easy to find stuff. And it's there for a long time.
It's a good thing I don't use my real name.
Yeah, so that's another question I was going to ask is...
An alias.
What if they do use an alias, even in their, like, their email, you know, it's like, baby Mexican 24, and then their Facebook username is I'm so hot or something. Because yeah. I don't know, I'm just making this stuff up. Because
right,
I was just thinking, Carlos. I saw a post on one of the students here that I'm friends with. She was like in the shower, took a picture of herself with some like little cutesy pose. She was wearing clothes, right?
Oh,
so she was like some little cutesy pose or something like that. And I'm thinking, really? Is this what you want to be known as? So do you think that those kind of things, even if her email doesn't have her name in it and her screen name doesn't have her name in it, is that something that's still going to be able to find her later?
I would say yes, because when you register with the site, you have to give your name. You have to give a name. And a lot of sites out there don't recognize I'm so hot or baby whatever. I don't know if they have a filter that just doesn't recognize titles like that. But more often than not, you're going to have those sites that you have to register with your name or your birthday or something like that. Even though they're free, you have to give your information to sign up with the site. So that part, you know, whether you're asking if do I use an alias or not, that's your call if you want to use an alias. It's not a good or a bad or right or wrong thing. You're probably still going to be found some way or another. Just use discretion.
Because, like, I don't use my first name on anything. The only thing I probably put on there is, like, my birthday is like the only thing that's probably like real.
Like, do you use the last name?
Yeah, my last name. That's about it.
If you're linked to your last name and your birthday, you're probably going to get pulled up in a search.
I gotta try that. Search myself.
Oh, no, that is a good point that you bring it up. Google yourself.
We already did.
We already
Googled ourselves.
Yes.
I'm in the white pages.
Are you?
Yes, it's weird.
Oh, I'm just on Google.
See, there you are. Continue to do that every year, because you never know. You know, next year you may get involved in athletics or Inquirer, dual team, or, you know, sports medicine, whatever you your heart desires. And you may be featured in newspaper or on this blog or what have you. That's a footprint for you online. So every year, continue to Google yourself before you apply to college. Google yourself. And same thing with a job. See what's out there, because your name is everything that you have, and you want it to be clean, like I said. So you gotta make sure you know what's out there, if anything is out there. Yeah.
All right. So the kids were, So the kids do a student podcast, and that's where they create the show notes. They create the topics and everything. They do everything. I'm really just sitting off to the side taking pictures or kind of adding questions if need be. And one of the things they wanted to talk about this week was, Googling yourself. So it's pretty cool that you kind of talked about that.
Yeah.
They've been doing that research.
Good.
So.
That's awesome.
So yeah, they're like, oh my gosh, that's my dad. This says, you know, everything about me right here just by searching my name. So
I am nowhere to be found.
Not yet.
It has my address online.
Yeah, it has our addresses and where we live, and it's actually pretty scary of how much like information is out there.
Yes, it's amazing how much you can be, you know, find about anybody out there.
I wonder if I type in my nickname in Google and it will pop up.
Remember your Facebook popped up?
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did.
You typed in Yaya?
Yeah.
See, and now everybody knows it. No. Everybody knows it too. So.
Yep. Yeah. It's like, oh well.
I googled my grandpa.
Did you?
Yeah. He popped up on a fishing boat.
That was really cool. So, I mean, it's not, I don't mean to, you know, I don't want to come in here with the, you know, lay the hammer down. Oh, keep it clean, everything. There's really, the internet is, you know, it's kind of a bittersweet thing because you can find some amazing things about your family, about the past, essentially anything you ever wanted to know. Just there is that discretionary, mindset that you need to use when putting yourself out there. The internet is a glorious thing. I'm grateful for it.
And, well, this is... Oh, I think I remember this is one of the hard questions for Mr. Meter. What was the worst part of your job?
Yeah, I saw this question in the notes that Jeremy sent me, and I was thinking, I was like, how do I answer this? Truly, and I'm being honest with you, and it's not just because my dad is sitting here behind me, who is also my boss. Gotta
He's
be
taking notes
my
back
best
there.
Behavior. Oh, is he?
It's okay. It's all recorded. I'll send him the recording.
Oh, yikes. Truly, there is not a bad part of my job. I truly feel like I am where I'm supposed to be. And, you know, everybody has a divine plan for their life, I believe. And, I don't think that working on the East Coast as an editor and in a publishing company, that was in the cards for me. I think I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And, I am lucky in the job that I have, and it is so much fun because there's a lot of flexibility that comes with working in social media realm. And it's fun because you get to portray, the voice of the company. And I work for a company that is truly, it's like a family. It really is. And not just because my family works there, but I've grown up with some of these people. You know, I was raised in the company, and then I've gotten to know people as they've come on board. And, I've never seen a company that is drama free. Thank God. But just very open minded, open hearted. And, it just makes it easy to work there. I work with great people. It's flexible. It's close to home. There's truly not a bad part of my job. There's a lot of time and research that goes into it. But again, that's part of my personality. I enjoy it. I do. Like I told you, I'm a huge nerd and that makes me giddy and I love it. But, no, I mean, it's an honest question and, you know, what's a bad part of your job? But there's not a bad thing about my job.
No, and now that we asked about the bad part, now what's the best part?
Oh, the best part. Oh, there's a lot of great parts about my job, but I think the thing that's the best, which is kind of, it's not really job related, it's getting to work with my family every day. Growing up, I always said, I'm not working there. No way. I'm not doing it. but I, like I said, I'm not supposed to be anywhere else. I truly believe that. And I get to see my family every day. My mom and my dad work there. My sister works there as well. It's close to home. It's close to my family. And it's an honor to work there as part of the Metter family.
I don't think I'll be able to work with my family.
No?
Yeah, me either.
Well, apparently that's what she said too.
No, I was, you know, just really adamant. I was like, I'm going to do my own thing and make my own way. And then I was like, wait, I think I want to work there. I do. So you never know. True. When I was y'all's age, there was no way that I was working for them.
You're like, no.
It's funny how as you grow up, you know.
Are you and your sister family. Really close then?
We are. And it's funny because I'll give you a little background on that. I hope I'm not straying too far off topic. I'm sorry. We're 24 years difference in age. And I'm 26. So
she's 40.
She's 50. But looking at her, I mean, you know, it's not all about this. She looks like she's in her 30s and she lives like she's in her 30s. She is one of the most joyous people that I've ever met. And, she's, really influenced my life a lot. And we were very close. She was my matron of honor in my wedding in October. And, she is so much fun. She's just, she's a joy to work with and a joy to have a relationship with. So yeah, we are very close.
Me and my sister are like 5 years apart and we're like we have our moments
yeah.
where we're like best sisters, and then we have our moments where like, why would you do that, or why would you yeah. say something like that, you know?
Yeah, but so. You hold tight to her, because as you grow up, and you know, when you get to be my age or my sister's age, y'all are gonna be the best friends. You will.
Oh, I wish I had a sister. I don't have a sister.
But your brother's nice. He buys you things at lunch.
Aww.
He bought her Hello Kitty earplugs.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, but I don't know. Just being the smallest is kind of weird.
Yeah, you know? I mean,
I'm the little one. Yeah, I'm the little one. I'm the little one and the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's you too, Morgan?
Oh, no, I'm kind of in the middle. There's four of us, and I have a younger brother who's, he'll be 23 in July.
Gotcha.
But, we weren't close for a long while, and then I went off to college, and he is one of my best friends. I love him dearly, and, yeah, he has a lot to say about being the baby as well.
All right, so in the, because of the time, Sarah.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry.
Where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years?
Oh my gosh, you know, I don't know, wherever God wants to take me. 5 years, I hope to still be working at Metter Staffing. I don't know where I'm going to be. There's discussions about moving and, you know, things like that in our cards. But luckily, I am in the job where I can work from anywhere, because it's pretty much all computer-based. Everything's online. Thank God for email and text messaging and all of that good stuff.
Amen.
But, and then 10 years, I just happy, you know, happy and, you know, maybe some kids and,
she doesn't say that.
Yeah. You know, just happy and healthy and with family and friends. That's really all that I can ask for. So.
What do you consider the greatest accomplishment?
Sorry.
What is my greatest accomplishment? I can't speak either. I'll keep it related to the company on this one, because I've talked a lot about family and things like that, which they're, you know, they're part of that. But I would say it's coming in, building the platform, the social media platform from the ground up, really knowing nothing. And, you know, it's not me sitting here tooting my own horn, but it's just, I want you all to take from this that you don't have to have all of the answers. Nobody's perfect. And if you just, you remain confident in the knowledge that you do have and that you are smart and, you can truly, I know this is cheesy, so bear with me. You can make a difference in the organization that you're in, or, you know, the wave that you're paving. It is possible. And so the social media platform that I built, with help from everyone in the company, just being open-minded and, willing to receive the information, and promote Metter's voice positively and across the masses. I consider that to be positive and lucky and, a blessing. So
you basically, just through the basic knowledge, user knowledge, because you were using it, mm-hmm. you successfully built a platform to present your company without any special training other than you know, your specialization in English.
Right. I read a lot. I bought every book ever created at the time on social media, marketing, management, social media platforms, and just went to school on my own on that. And, I didn't have any formal education on it. I went to a couple training seminars, but that's about it. And I was just passionate about it, and I didn't know that I was going to be passionate about it, but I was, and I am.
Well, looking back, you could say that your biggest passion was that this is really your family's business.
Right.
So therefore, I feel, just listening to you, the reason you won that job mm-hmm. is that you were so passionate to put your dad's business out there.
Right.
For the media.
That's hitting the nail on the head, I think. Yeah.
All right, so I think Anna's got the final question, and then we're going to have to let them go to lunch. And then we're going to continue the interview for just a few minutes. Okay. So.
Now, looking back, do you ever wish I'd done something differently?
Oh, gosh. You know what? No, I don't. I think, you know, everyone has regrets and everyone has, you know, teachable moments and learning experiences. And I've certainly had mine, and I've had to eat some pieces of humble pie every now and then. But, no, I don't think I would have done anything differently, because I am where I am now. I'm sitting, I'm in a good place. I'm in a good place in my, you know, with my family and my marriage and overall my career. And, I think every road truly does lead you to where you're sitting right now, the good and the bad things that happen to you. So, nope, I wouldn't have done anything differently.
All right. So, real quick, if y'all will, tell her thanks and goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Bye. Bye. Y'all are so much fun. Thank you for having me.
It was nice meeting you too.
And that little noise is the kids leaving. So
enjoy your lunch.
So, can you, like, we talked to kids, and I mean, there's a ton of great information here, and I would say that building up the website first and making sure that's really rocking, and then starting off going to Facebook, and then maybe Twitter, just because of the number of users, the number of people that you're putting your stuff out in front of, those are what I believe you said were the action steps.
Right.
If there's people that are listening, maybe they want to build their athletic training webpage, or maybe there's an athletic trainer that has a product that they want to promote. Can you give us action steps or some of the things maybe do and don't do specifically for somebody that's trying to promote a product and something they can go from here?
Yes. You know, I'll go back to just starting from where you said, you know, your website needs to be the main hub of, and if you think about it as a diagram, like, you know, a circle diagram with your website in the middle, and then you tear off all of the other social platforms that you use, you know, that they,
we're teachers and they always push Venn diagrams and thinking maps and.
Did a thinking map right there.
Well, there you have it.
You did a bubble map.
There you have it. You know, but it's true. Those little outward bubbles, they lead back into your website, and you know, it can be Facebook, Twitter, you know, Tumblr, Dig. I know we didn't talk a whole lot about that, but moving on from your website, if you choose to, you know, you master Facebook, you master Twitter, you, no matter what brand you are, you really want to think about the nature of the site. So Facebook, pretty much all age groups are using it. All types of people are using it. Twitter, it's a little bit scaled down, as far as age. I mean, there's still all age groups, but, it's not the same type of people on Facebook. And then people on Dig, it's for everyone, but not everybody's using it. And that's another great way to promote, you know, your content as well, because it's a sharing site. It goes out to everyone. Tumblr is great too, because anyone and everyone can post everything that they could ever dream of, it varies. It's not just a podcast site. You could share photos. You could share your blog, articles, press releases, things like that. So it's just, To sum all that up, it's knowing your product inside and out, knowing your brand inside and out, and the type of voice that you want that brand, company, product to have. For example, like Metter, I knew that it's family, you know, homegrown family company, not just because of the Metter last name, but because of the people who work here. We truly consider our people to be family. It's a very warm environment. You don't get the stuffy corporate, you know, not to, you know, harp on those companies out there like that, but we, you know, we treat our people who come through our door. We want them to feel like they have a chance, you know, and if we can't place them, then we want to give them every tool imaginable to help them get placed by another company or just anywhere that they're going to find success. So I knew going forward and establishing a voice for Metter on those pages, I needed to take all that and just bundle it into that voice. So knowing your voice when you get on these platforms, knowing your audience is probably, you know, equally as important, who they are and what they want to hear from you. So athletic trainers, you're probably appealing to, you know, more, you know, athletic trainers out there, or people who are interested in becoming athletic trainers, or just anyone in the sports medicine athletic industry who want the information you're putting out there. So you're not going to say your biggest fan base is probably not going to be people in staffing, right? So you want to keep that in mind going forward, promote to the type of people that you know are going to want that information from you. And that's how your brand just builds it out and push that brand out there. Once you master the voice, you know who your audience is, start marketing it just either by word of mouth, push that information out there. And there's also other things you can do by purchasing ads on Facebook and Google and things like that. There's a lot to it.
Okay. So if I understood this, first you have to know your product. So know what's the point of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then know who you want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in general I would want anybody to see it. So because something like this could apply to anybody, or when mm-hmm. we talk to Mr. Metric, it apply to anybody.
Absolutely.
You know, and I listen to some that are podcasts that are like the Tightwad Tech, where they're talking about like building systems for education and all this stuff. And a lot of it doesn't apply, but there are a lot of things that I learn about. For example, like Audacity, that I'm recording on, that's mm-hmm. where I learned it. You know, some of this podcasting stuff, using Google Docs so that you could look at the document today mm-hmm. while you were sitting at your office, and I could look at it at the same time, and we could both type on it. I learned that from listening to that show, just because they mention it and they talk about it. And so ideally, I would want mm-hmm. it to be open to anybody. And so that's why I have it, try to put it on Facebook and
yes.
Twitter. And that way anybody, you know, on Twitter, most of the people that follow me are either family or athletic trainers, or people that, you know, I followed, like Black's Barbecue in Lockhart, Texas. Mm-hmm. You know, they followed me because I followed them or whatever, you know, just because I went there and yeah. mentioned them. And so you never know who might, if I mention Black's Barbecue in the podcast, you never know who might see it.
No, and that is a great thing to bring up. Online etiquette is, I mean, it's not strange, but it do unto others as they would do unto you. Mention people, you know, and Facebook, you can tag companies when you like them. Do that, and they're more apt to do it to you back. That one gracious, you know, nice gesture can open up so many doors online just by doing that one small, you know, seemingly insignificant thing. But you're promoting their business. And so, you know, when we get the link for this podcast, I think Mr. Metter has the one from us, you know, we'll go on there, like PHS Trainers, and we'll share the heck out of it, you know, to promote you guys and, you know, get your name out there too. Not just promoting, that we were on here, but we want to build you guys up too. So everyone kind of works hand in hand at the end of the day, if you think about it, in promoting
right.
And marketing each page.
Oh, glad you put our marketing, because this is a new way of marketing.
Yes.
I mean, because before you had to market, you did it like you had to go buy commercials.
Right. Right.
TV or newspapers or magazines or whatever. Now with, you know, the social media, now you can market with it. So
it's a very good point.
It just kind of opens up the,
so,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry,
the tools as far as is marketing going.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
So do y'all use any Facebook or Google ads?
We did use Facebook ads when we first got on Facebook in September of 2009. That's what we used to push our name out there. And we did pay-per-click and we did it all on our own. And we got our fan base up and said, okay, that's great. We still use ads, except we use, the engagement ads. When you log on to Facebook, it takes you to your newsfeed, right? Well, there's always one ad on the top right hand corner of the page. That's the engagement ad. And we have several of those that we have purchased with Facebook, and they it's really increased the number of likes on our page, and it also takes people to our website as well. So yes, we use that. We don't use Google Ads, but we really focus on search engine optimization in all of our online efforts. And what search engine optimization is, basically, it's just steps that you can take to ensure that you rank highly on Google and Yahoo and all the search engines out there, because when someone Googles, you know, PHS athletic trainers or sports medicine Pasadena, Texas, ideally you want to be that number one spot up there. So if you are that number one spot, you don't have to worry about, in my mind, you don't have to worry about those ads out there, because you're going to be there when people search for
right.
you.
It's the first thing they click on mm-hmm. usually.
You want to be ideally in the top page, if not in the top 10, top 5.
All right. So I know you said you had a seminar that kind of talked about all this stuff. How do you guys ensure, or how could I, with the podcast, how could I increase the optimization in Google?
It starts with your website. There, and I think you can actually Google's tips about what you can do to enhance your website. Basically, it's playing by Google's rules of the game. Search engine optimization, at the end of the day, in my mind, is it's a game. And if you play by Google's rules and have everything in your website that needs to be there, they're going to play nice to you and you're going to rank highly in their searches. So I think if you just Google, you know, Google tips and tricks, or Google tips to rank highly, you can learn a whole bucket of stuff and implement that into your page. We've done that in the past. We have a webmaster who I work with for behind the scenes things to help with that. As our social media program has grown, we've brought in third parties to help us manage that. Specifically, we work with Career Builder, who has a social media management individual who I work with every now and then to ensure that our back-end stuff is matching what needs to be out there. So we do rank highly. I work with another marketing company who helped build our new website. We overhauled our website, at the end of last year, and search engine optimization was the number one piece. And I didn't realize how much of a part that it played, but in building a new website, you know, you said it's a lot of time and energy to, you know, build yours and maintain yours. But that's number one focus. So SEO is a big deal.
So they always like ask for tags, like in
yes
in the website. Is that
yes.
like the tags and the metadata?
Yes.
I don't really understand what that stuff is.
It's a lot of techie mumbo jumble, you know, things. But tags, keywords, that, because think of those keywords. Okay, here's an example that I can, you know, that's tangible. When I talk about LinkedIn, creating your LinkedIn profile and writing your summary on your page, you want to put keywords related to what you do, your strengths, your education, your experience, and you want to put as many times listed in without being ridiculous in that summary, so that you rank higher when someone searches you, not only on LinkedIn, but on Google, because when you search your name on Google, and you have a LinkedIn profile, it'll pull you up. So, you know, say you're creating your LinkedIn profile, you want to mention sports medicine, athletic trainers, you know, podcasts, you know, anything that is relative to what you do, who you are, and the experience that you carry. You want to list that as many times as you can, because Google will recognize those keywords and pull you up when someone searches for any of those keywords, not just your name, but anything that's listed in that summary. Same thing. I mean, that's really essential to know for your website, your Facebook page when you're entering info in. For that, it's those tags and those keywords that are super important, and you want to mention them as many times as you can. And I always say 10 times, mention those keywords 10 times in your LinkedIn summary.
So if I just say go to my Facebook and mm-hmm. where it says about me, like mm-hmm. I could put, you know, sports medicine broadcast host and, mm-hmm. and, you know, on the sports medicine broadcast. So you're saying mention sports medicine broadcast and
yes.
podcast like 10 times within the.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, without being ridiculous and just listing it over and over, but you want it to flow nicely back to communicating effectively mm-hmm. And well. But yes, mention those things repetitively, because it'll pull you up higher on those searches.
So that's when it comes back to my wife, because like I said earlier, there's a lot of times where I put something out there and I'm like, oh, I misspelled that, or like, oh, there's supposed to be a comma there, or this doesn't make sense. So she actually listens to almost all the podcasts and goes through the website and looks at the stuff, and she's like, here, Jeremy, let me fix this for you. And I tell you what, there's so much stuff. Like, each of the grants, I think I've probably received about 10 to 12 grants, maybe more. And there's one or two that I did without any help from her. And then the rest of them are probably because of the way she words stuff. You know, mm-hmm. it's my idea, but because she communicates it clearly, mm-hmm. it's why someone's like, oh, you know, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
And so it really helps because she's a little nerdy too. She's, you know, a bookworm. She loves English and loves mm-hmm. editing and stuff like that. And it's just perfect for me because I'm not good at that stuff. So it's a perfect fit.
Sound like my husband. My husband does the same thing. So you're complimentary of one another. So mm-hmm. that works.
So, all right. Well, there's a whole lot. I mean, I have a ton of stuff I could ask, but you know, most of it probably I could just research because there's a lot of things I don't use. So what about LinkedIn? Is that for the sports medicine broadcast? Since I'm kind of promoting it to specific profession, mm-hmm. would that help me promote that to them versus Facebook or Twitter?
Absolutely, it would help. There, LinkedIn is a little bit different than Facebook as far as the nature of the site goes because it is directed solely at professionals in the professional community. And when I was doing training, I always gave this analogy to help people understand the nature of each network because each network is different. And I always said, you know, LinkedIn is like the office. Twitter is like texting on steroids. Facebook is like, you know, a weekend picnic or a family picnic where everyone's there. And then MySpace is happy hour. So it kind of paints a picture of, okay, how do I need to behave on these sites? Because how are people going to receive my information who are on these sites? And I'd say if you don't already set up a LinkedIn page for yourself as a sports medicine professional, an education professional, write your bio, your summary, list your experience there. And like Facebook and, you know, Twitter, where you can send updates out on that network, you can do that on LinkedIn as well. So each time you have a new broadcast, I would send the link out with a message to your professional community. And just it's building your brand as a sports medicine professional, and it's building the broadcast brand as well. So it's how you package it, truly, the status update and the message that you're putting out there on LinkedIn that's truly going to communicate well on that site. And it will help build the brand.
All right, so I think I'll end with this. You know, my kids showed me a new one yesterday, Path. I don't know. Have you heard of that?
Heard a little bit about it. It's new.
And so there's Google+, Facebook, yes. LinkedIn, Twitter, Dig, Path, all these other different things. How can I manage a social media without going crazy? Because I do all of it.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so how can I manage that without going crazy?
Well, just structure your time wisely. That's the best advice I can give you. And I would say if you're going to be on multiple sites at once instead of, you know, mastering one at a time, I mean, truly it's all just up to the individual. How much, you know, time do you have? Do you have great time management where you can take 5 minutes a day, update all at once? You don't have to spend, you know, hours a day on these sites in order to manage effectively, on those sites, but you know, you said you're on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+. Path is new, and the research that I've done on it may not be the best for businesses. It's more like a personal community because it caps your friends at 50 people. So you don't have the exposure as you would say if you're friends with 450 people on Facebook. That goes out to all of your 450 friends when you update, and then it goes viral after that if people share, you know, the link to your podcast. So Path is one that I think is going to be for the people who want to keep their social network within, you know, the arm's length and have more control. So who knows? It may expand. I'm not sure. But Google+ is great. It's new. And I know that businesses are relatively new, rather. Businesses are finding success in that. Similar features to Facebook, although the hangouts and the circles have created a little bit different aspect of it. I think it's a great place to be. We just recently got on it because I wanted to master, each site first. But our brand's been around for over 43 years, so it's very delicate, and I didn't want to jump in all at once. But just take 10 minutes a day if you have it and update all of your pages at once, or continue to use Feedburner or Hootsuite or anything like that to help you. All right. It's feasible.
All right, so I think that'll pretty much sum up the show. Again, I'm going to have to probably listen to this one a couple different times. And I think, Bill, do you mind if I take the words of wisdom?
Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to do that. We want to thank, we've already thanked our kids for being involved. And, you know, I love having them in here. And that's really a huge part of why we do all this, is so that they can be connected with the real world. But, you know, thanks, Bill, for joining me. And I've said this before, this is kind of all my idea, you know, and I did most of this, and I started listening to podcasts, and so Bill just kind of went along with it, but I think he's kind of grown to like it as we've gone along. What do you say, Bill?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. He knows most of it. I just kind of like, I'm along for the ride. I just show up and start talking. Mm-hmm. So,
and then, of course, Morgan Sheen.
Yes.
So, obviously, it wouldn't be a very good show, just me talking about the little I know about Facebook. So, very cool, special guest. And then Mr. Metter still back there proudly just smiling away at his wonderful daughter. So proud. But not only that, but she was talking about, she was this part of the steering committee for the Education Foundation.
The Texas Invitational Basketball Tournament.
Oh, yeah, Texas Invitational Basketball Tournament, which is basically the main funding source for the Education Foundation, or a huge funding source anyways. And so the stuff that Metter Staffing does, besides coming here and being part of our podcast, just truly supports Pasadena ISD. You know, Mr. Metter said he's from the Pasadena area. He went to Pasadena High School, and this is where he lives. He's not moving. Even if his daughter moves, he's not moving. This is where he is. And he just loves this area, and it's true, and it bleeds through his company. And so I want to say thanks to Metter Staffing for all the support that they do.
Yeah, ditto.
And then, of course, Memorial Hermann, I talked about, we're going to have Summer Ott, which Memorial Hermann tabbed as the Michael Jordan of concussion management. She's going to be coming to talk to us. So Dr. Crumby, our orthopedic surgeon, and Bubba Wilson is going to be coming back. So they're doing a lot of cool stuff to support us as well. So those two companies are going to be huge in the future of our podcast, because, of course, Morgan said they got lots of followers, and they're going to share our podcast with her, with all those people, and then we'll be famous, just like that, overnight.
Overnight.
We'll be viral.
I'm already famous. At least in Pasadena, I could say that.
Yeah, and then there's the name road, the road named for you on the way to San Antonio,
no,
Trainer Hill Road.
After me.
Don't tell anybody that. Okay. So I'm going to go with the words of wisdom from the younger, but maybe wiser, Morgan Sheen. Master one thing first and then move to the other. So kind of, I said I listen to other podcasts, so I'd be like, oh, well, let's try that. I was actually going to try doing Ustream today, but I just signed up for it today. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to leave that alone. I'll figure out how it works, and then I'll incorporate it. And then that way I could possibly incorporate video, and people can watch live and comment live and that kind of thing. And that'd be a really cool aspect if we can get a following there. But I need to master that first. I need to actually master, I think I got the website pretty good, but I need to master Facebook. I would say I'm pretty comfortable there. Twitter is pretty comfortable, and so I haven't created LinkedIn, so I'll try and do that. So I'm going to master those things, and then once I master it, once I really understand it, and then push it out, and that way I'm not putting out a half-decent product, somebody that's turning people away. So in the words of Morgan Sheen, master it one at a time, and really know your product and your voice. So
I like the voice.
Yeah, know your voice. Know what you want to say.
That's right.
Because it's not the same as just chopping out a little bit of audio here as when it's on the internet. You got to pull it back and apologize and all that stuff. So, all right, anything else? All right, so if you want to check out the website for Metter Staffing and see how you can get involved, how you can improve your job hunting skills. If you want to find out more about social media, I'm sure you could find Morgan's information on there somewhere. So www.metter, meador.com. That's meador.com. Or Twitter is at meadorstaffing. Facebook is facebook.com/meadorstaffing. So that's if you want to contact them. If you want to contact us, check out our website, www.pasadenaisd.org/phs/athletic training.
You can follow us on Twitter at PHS Sports Med, Google Plus at PHS Athletic Training, facebook.com/phs athletic training, or if you'd like to talk to Jeremy or myself personally, you could call us at our office phone, which is 713-740-0310, extension 01312.
And then here goes another thing that I decided, you know, I'm just going to go for it before I master it, was the app for Android. Of course, you know, like I said, it's a limited edition. I think they only allow me 500 downloads, and I think I've gotten 12 already. So,
you still got your chance to get it.
Yep, still got a chance. So if you want, it is an easy way to listen to the podcast if you want, but I believe it's all streaming. So it's not like you can, like when you download it, you can stop it or pause it and then listen, pick right back up. So I think when it's streaming, it's just, it starts over every time.
It can run up a lot of data on your phone, so be careful.
Yeah, so if you sit at Starbucks, you know, it'd be perfect. You can just put it on your loudspeaker and let everybody listen to it while you're stealing their free Wi-Fi. So download the app on Android. PHS Athletic Training. You'll see our little green sports medicine broadcast emblem on there, and my name, Jeremy Jackson. You'll know that's the right one. So it does have a lot of other cool things: Facebook, live album, Twitter, all that stuff. If you want to see it all there in one spot, or you just follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, and all that other stuff, like I said earlier. So for Jeremy, Bill, Morgan, Mr. Metter, the Sports Med One Kids, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.